Simon, why don't you begin? Then Olaf, and then we'll go to Lucien.
Well, I wasn't entirely expecting that. although I do see my name is down there. I don't have very much to say on this topic, but I have something. So let me say what I have to say. It seems to me, and that's in keeping with my opening remarks yesterday, that I have a conservative view to bring to this meeting. There is a traditional and conservative view of what is object, what is an object, what is a physical object, or indeed any kind of object. And I think it's substantive. I think it's the result of a philosophical tradition that, unlike most philosophical traditions, has been accumulative, on which there's quite a lot of consensus, which is grounded on some very significant discovery. I'm speaking of the line that goes back to Frege through Russell and ends with Quine, in accordance with which the most precise notion of object available is one derived from language, and most specifically from quantification theory and logic. and the idea here is that logic is adding precision and clarity. So one has some form of discourse. If one tries to regiment that and achieve maximum clarity and precision, you end with something like the predicate calculus. And specifically, it is the use of the variable and quantification which is our best guide to ontology, to questions of what are objects in that discourse, in accordance with that discourse. Now there's a lot more to say about this. This view has been the result of many centuries of debate as to, for example, what one means by fictional objects, whether in speaking of something that does not exist, one nevertheless must be speaking of something, because otherwise how can one speak with any sense at all? It is partly a reflection on what is the function of names within a language, and so forth. The view, and I won't be able to recapitulate this, all the arguments for it, but the view is that it is only through quantification that one is irrevocably committed to an ontology, that all other uses of referring expressions and so forth can be paraphrased in such a way as to not really mean that there is a thing, that there is a thing corresponding to what one says. Now, I think that this actually leads to quite a nice account of what is emergence and what is an object in some hierarchical system. And that arises when one also analyzes the notion of identity in predicative terms. And this, in turn, derives from originally Gödel's axiomatization of identity that he introduced to prove the completeness of the predicate calculus. And it was championed by Hilbert and subsequently by Quine. And it is the view that it is a form of identity of indiscernibles.
It's a form of identity?
Identity of indiscernibles that we inherit from Leibniz, which says that any numerical plurality is to be accounted for, and the basis of that plurality is to be understood in terms of predicates, differences in predicates. And where it differs from Leibniz is only insofar as we have a more sophisticated logic, and in particular we have relations, and we have the formalism of the quantifier, so we know more precisely what we mean when we talk of predicative differences. So philosophers have usually thought that what it means to say that objects must differ with respect to some property or relation it's a loose way of talking, and it's misled, I think, many philosophers working on questions of identity. And the more precise way of talking is that, and here I will give you the precise, it will sound strange, but let me give it to you. It is that objects differ with respect to their properties or relations with all objects. Okay, and I need that terminology. I can't say with all other objects. It's rather important that I include with all objects, that I allow them to enter into those relations themselves. And this allows a formulation of the principle of identity of discernibles that is actually knows no counterexamples, with the possible exception of elementary bosons. So there have been many a long history of philosophers giving counterexamples to a principle of identity of discernibles. All of those counterexamples turn out not to be counterexamples. When one has clearly in view predicates of n with n entries, okay, so n-ary relations in general. Now, let me get to the point. If in physical one has a physical theory, and it's a mélange of mathematics, of operational procedures, of experimental tacit knowledge, performative abilities, you name it, it's a mess, and that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if one seeks precision and if one seeks a role of logic, it seems to me it's in the talk that we produce in the light of physical theory. What do we say? Objecthood, it seems to me, is not to be found in mathematics. It's in certain branches of mathematics, it's reasonably transparent set theory. It's rather remarkably, it is in those branches of mathematics that have not had application or any deep application in physics. So if one's looking at differential equations, operator algebras, and so forth, where is the notion of object? One could take the view that this tells us that in some fundamental sense, objects are not what the world is composed of, that ultimately there are no objects. One could take that view. I don't myself. I take the view, and I come back to this tradition of Russell through to Quine, that the notion of object is most transparent at the level of language. And that isn't to say that therefore it's merely linguistic, because after all what we're concerned with is what we say. So let us look at how we ought to say with precision what there is. We use natural language, of course, in physical science. We report and we discuss among each other. We talk about the world in the light of our theorizing. If one's going to clean up that talk about the world, then we need to be precise about what are the predicates, what are the proper names, what are the function symbols if we have them. My proposal in this respect is that the right predicates are invariant predicates, that we can read off from theories properties and relations rather better than we can what are objects.
What are invariant?
Invariant under symmetries. I'll say a little bit more. But that we can read off from theories what are measurable quantities, and out of measurable quantities, and actually just let's talk of physically meaningful quantities, physically real quantities. From those we can construct predicates, because once you've got a quantity, you can speak about a quantity taking a value in a certain range, and that then becomes a predicate, or it's fit, it's apt for use as a predicate. We can therefore arrive at predicates that we think are the right ones, the physically meaningful ones, the real ones, and I propose the criterion for this, is many people propose this, I think, which is invariance. Invariance under symmetries. Invariance under any mathematical transformations of the theory that in some sense leaves the structure unchanged. So a structure unchanging, a structure preserving transformation is an isomorphism, or a morphism from one structure to another structure. Invariance is that the predicates that we arrive at should be unchanged under such mappings. If one then has a language and one has the predicates defined in this way, what are the objects of the objects of those things which differ with respect to those predicates? And that, I think, gives one a workable notion of objecthood in the various theories that I, for one, have worked on, I've worked on the easiest ones, but also the most important theories. So I've worked on Newtonian gravity, special and general relativity, quantum mechanics, quantum field theory, but not looking actually at non-abelian gauge theory. Non-abelian gauge theory, I think, presents the greatest difficulties. And I haven't, to my satisfaction, tried to apply this general framework to that.
I think if you have resolved the issues in general relativity, you should be able to.
I hope so. I think that's right. And I don't think there's a problem with abelian gauge theory. So. But let me just say now a bit more how this works with emergence and reductionism.
Let me just warn you, I'm going to cut you off in 5 minutes.
Okay,
if you go on time.
I'll be quick. And this has arisen mostly in philosophical debates about this notion of identity as predicatively defined. The point is that objecthood becomes language relative. You change the language, you introduce more predicates, you change the objects that one quantifies over. And that seems just the right sort of framework for dealing with emergence or some hierarchical structure to notions of object. We formulate a language at the level of one theory and predicates accordingly, and one has a notion of object corresponding to that. Introduce further predicates or take away various predicates, and one has then a changed notion of object. And that seems just fine. Philosophers have often seen this as some sort of a problem to do with the defined notion of identity, that this points to some inadequacy or something. But it seems to me to point to just the sort of tool that we need in talk of emergence. And again, it seems to me to work in the physical applications that I've had in mind. From elementary particles, one talks of elementary particles, but then one can talk of the state in which an elementary particle is to be found. Or one can talk of a region of space-time in which there may or may not be elementary particles. The symmetry no longer applies. The symmetry, which is a permutation symmetry of particles, does not apply to the state itself. It doesn't apply to the region of space-time that one's speaking of. So with these changes of predicates, one has different notions of objecthood. What I don't know is how this works in computer science, and it's something that I was very much hoping to hear something from Jerome about. What is a bit of information? In what sense is this an object? How does that notion of information vary as one changes the language that one uses to talk about objects in the computational context? And presumably that would be talk in the light of an underlying theory of syntax or software. I would like to hear more, but unfortunately Jaron's not here. But equally in biological terms, how does this work in terms of objecthood in biological systems? This seems to me I'm very interested in this question anyway. Okay.
Beautiful.